Alan Carr's Easy Way to Stop Smoking, introduced by Alan Carr, read by Duncan Wells.
Introduction. I'm going to cure the world of smoking. I was talking to my wife. She thought that I'd flipped. Understandable if you consider that she had watched me fail on numerous attempts to quit. The most recent had been 2 years previously. I'd actually survived 6 months of sheer purgatory before I finally succumbed and lit a cigarette. I'm not ashamed to admit that I cried like a baby. I was crying because I knew that I was condemned to be a smoker for life. I'd put so much effort into that attempt and suffered so much misery that I knew I would never have the strength to go through that ordeal again. I'm not a violent man, but if some patronising non-smoker had been stupid enough at that moment to suggest to me that all smokers can find it easy to quit immediately and permanently, I would not have been responsible for my actions. However, I'm convinced that any jury in the world comprised of smokers only would have pardoned me on the grounds of justifiable homicide. Perhaps you too find it impossible to believe that it can be easy for any smoker to quit. If so, I beg you not to cast this program into the rubbish bin. Please trust me. I assure you that even you can find it easy to quit. Anyway, there I was 2 years later, having just extinguished what I knew would be my final cigarette, not only telling my wife that I was already a non-smoker, but that I was going to cure the rest of the world. I must admit that at the time I found her scepticism somewhat irritating. However, in no way did it diminish my feeling of exultation. I suppose that my exhilaration in knowing that I was already a happy non-smoker distorted my perspective somewhat. With the benefit of hindsight, I can sympathise with her attitude. I now understand why Joyce and my close friends and relatives thought I was a candidate for the funny farm. As I look back on my life, it seems that my whole existence has been a preparation for solving the smoking problem. Even those hateful years of training and practicing as a chartered accountant were invaluable in helping me to unravel the mysteries of the smoking trap. They say you can't fool all the people all of the time, but I believe the tobacco companies have done just that for years. I also believe that I am the first to really understand the smoking trap. If I appear to be arrogant, let me hasten to add that it was no credit to me, just the circumstances of my life. The momentous day was the 15th of July 1983. I didn't escape from Colditz, but I imagine those who did felt the same sense of relief and exhilaration as I did when I extinguished that final cigarette. I realised I had discovered something that every smoker was praying for, an easy way to stop smoking. After testing out the method on smoking friends and relatives, I gave up accountancy and became a full-time consultant helping other smokers to get free. Another 2 years later, I wrote the first edition of this book. One of my failures, the man I describe in chapter 25, was the inspiration. He visited me twice, and we were both reduced to tears on each occasion. He was so agitated that I couldn't get him to relax enough to absorb what I was saying. I hope that if I wrote it all down, he could read it in his own good time as many times as he wanted, and this would help him to absorb the message. I was in no doubt that Easy Way would work just as effectively for other smokers as it had done for me. However, when I contemplated putting the method into book form, I was apprehensive. I did my own market research. The comments were not very encouraging. How can a book help me to quit? What I need is willpower. How can a book avoid the terrible withdrawal pangs? I also had my own doubts. Often at the clinics, it became obvious that a client had misunderstood an important point that I was making. I was able to correct the situation. But how would a book be able to do that? I remembered well the times when I studied to qualify as an accountant, when I didn't understand or agree with a particular point in a book, the frustration because you couldn't ask the book to explain. I was also well aware, particularly in these days of television and videos, that many people are not accustomed to reading. Added to all these factors, I had one doubt that overrode all the rest. I wasn't a writer and was very conscious of my limitations in this respect. I was confident that I could sit down face to face with a smoker and convince that smoker how much more enjoyable social occasions would be, how he or she would be better able to concentrate and handle stress as a non-smoker, and just how easy and enjoyable the process of quitting can be. But could I transfer that facility to a book? Thankfully, the gods were kind to me. I received thousands of complimentary letters containing comments such as, "It's the greatest book ever written. You are my guru. You are a genius. You should be knighted. You should be prime minister. You are a saint." I hope that I have not allowed such comments to go to my head. I'm fully aware that those comments were made not to compliment me on my literary skills, but in spite of my lack of them. They were made because whether your preference is to read a book, listen to a program, or attend a clinic, the EasyWay system works. Not only do we now have a worldwide network of EasyWay clinics, but my book has been a Penguin bestseller every year since its first publication. It even outsold Harry Potter recently in Norway, making it the number one bestseller of all classes, fiction and non-fiction. It has sold around 6 million copies and been translated into over 20 different languages. After approximately a year of running smoking clinics, I thought I had learned everything that it was possible to learn about helping smokers to quit. Amazingly, 20 years after discovering the method, I learned something new practically every day. This fact caused me some concern when I was asked to review the first edition after 6 years of publication. I had a horror that I would have to amend or retract practically everything that I had written. I needn't have worried. The basic principles of EasyWay are as sound today as when I first discovered the method. The beautiful truth is, it is easy to stop. That is a fact. My only difficulty is to convince every smoker of that fact. All of the knowledge that I have accumulated over 20 years is used to enable every smoker to see the light. At the clinics, we try to achieve perfection. Every failure hurts us deeply, because we know every smoker can find it easy to quit. When smokers fail, they tend to regard it as their failure. We regard it as our failure. We failed to convince those smokers just how easy and enjoyable it is to quit. I dedicated the first edition of the book to the 16 to 20% of smokers that I had failed to cure. That failure rate was based on the money-back guarantee that we give at our clinics. The average current failure rate of our clinics worldwide is under 10%. That means a success rate of over 90%. Although I was aware that I had discovered something marvellous, I never in my wildest dreams expected to achieve such rates. You might well argue that if I genuinely believed that I would cure the world of smoking, I must have expected to achieve 100%. No, I never expected to achieve 100%. Snuff-taking was the previous most popular form of nicotine addiction, until it became antisocial and died. However, there are still a few weirdos who continue to take snuff, and probably there always will be. Amazingly, the Houses of Parliament are one of the last bastions of snuff-taking. I suppose this is not so surprising when you think about it. Politicians are generally about 100 years behind the times. so there will always be a few weirdos who will continue to smoke. I certainly never expected to have to cure every smoker, personally. What I thought would happen was that once I had explained the mysteries of the smoking tract and dispelled such illusions as smokers enjoy smoking, smokers choose to smoke, smoking relieves boredom and stress, smoking aids concentration and relaxation, smoking is a habit, it takes willpower to quit, once a smoker, always a smoker, telling smokers that it kills them, helps them to quit, substitutes, particularly nicotine replacement, help smokers to quit. In particular, when I had dispelled the illusion that it is difficult to quit and that you have to go through a transitional period of misery in order to do so, I naively thought that the rest of the world would also see the light and adopt my method. I thought my chief antagonist would be the tobacco industry. Amazingly, my chief stumbling blocks were the very institutions that I thought would be my greatest allies. The media, the government, organisations like ASH, QUIT, and the established medical profession. You've probably seen the film Sister Kenny. In case you haven't, it's about the time when infantile paralysis, or polio, was the scourge of our children. I clearly remember that the word engendered the same fear in me as the word cancer does today. The effect of polio was not only to paralyse the legs and arms, but to distort the limbs. The established medical treatment was to put those limbs in irons and thus prevent the distortion. The result was paralysis for life. Sister Kenny believed the irons inhibited recovery and proved 1,000 times over that the muscles could be re-educated so that the child could walk again. However, Sister Kenny wasn't a doctor. She was merely a nurse. How dare she dabble in a province that was confined to qualified doctors? It didn't seem to matter that Sister Kenny had found the solution to the problem and had proved her solution to be effective. The children that were treated by Sister Kenny knew she was right. So did their parents. Yet the established medical profession not only refused to adopt her methods, but actually prevented her from practicing. It took Sister Kenny 20 years before the medical profession would accept the obvious. I first saw that film years before I discovered Easy Way. The film was very interesting, and no doubt there was an element of truth in it. However, it was equally obvious that Hollywood had used a large portion of poetic license. Sister Kenny couldn't possibly have discovered something that the combined knowledge of medical science had failed to discover. Surely the established medical specialists weren't the dinosaurs they were being portrayed as. How could it possibly have taken them 20 years to accept the facts that were staring them in the face? They say that fact is stranger than fiction. I apologise for accusing the makers of Sister Kenny for using poetic license. Even in this so-called enlightened age of modern communications, after 20 years, even having access to modern communications, I've failed to get my message across. Oh, I've proved my point. The only reason that you are listening to this programme is because another ex-smoker has recommended it to you. Remember, I don't have the massive financial power of institutions like the BMA, ASH, or QUIT. Like Sister Kenny, I'm a lone individual. Like her, I'm only famous because my system works. I'm already regarded as the number one guru on helping smokers to quit. Like Sister Kenny, I've proved my point. But Sister Kenny proved her point. What good did that serve if the rest of the world was still adopting procedures which were the direct opposite to what they should be? The last words of this programme are identical to the original manuscript of the book. There is a wind of change in society. A snowball has started that I hope this book will help turn into an avalanche. From my remarks, you might have drawn the conclusion that I am no respecter of the medical profession. Nothing could be further from the truth. One of my sons is a doctor, and I know of no finer profession. Indeed, we receive more recommendations to our clinics from the medical profession than any other profession. And surprisingly, more of our clients come from the medical profession than any other single profession. In the early years, I was generally regarded by the medical profession as being somewhere between a charlatan and a quack. In August 1997, I had the great honour to be invited to lecture to the 10th World Conference on Tobacco or Health, held in Beijing. I believe that I am the first non-qualified doctor to receive such an honour. The invitation itself was a measure of the progress that I had made. However, I might just as well have been lecturing to a brick wall. Since the nicotine chewing gum and the patch have failed to cure the problem, smokers themselves appear to have accepted that you don't get cured from addiction to a drug by prescribing the same drug. It's equivalent to saying to a heroin addict, "Don't smoke heroin. Smoking is dangerous. Try injecting it into your vein." Don't try this with nicotine. It will kill you instantly. Because the medical profession, the media, and charities like ASH and Quit haven't a clue on helping smokers to quit, they concentrate on telling smokers what they already know. Smoking is unhealthy. It's filthy and disgusting. It's unsociable and expensive. It never seems to occur to them that smokers don't smoke for the reasons that they shouldn't smoke. The real problem is to remove the reasons that they do. On national non-smoking days, the compulsory medical expert says something like, "This is the day that every smoker tries to quit." Every smoker knows that it is the one day in the year that most smokers will smoke twice as much as they usually do, and twice as blatantly, because smokers don't like being told what to do, particularly by people who dismiss smokers as mere idiots and don't understand why they smoke. Because they don't completely understand smokers themselves or how to make it easy for smokers to quit, their attitude is, "Try this method. If it doesn't work, try another." Can you imagine if there were 10 different ways of treating appendicitis? 9 of them cured 10% of the patients, which means they killed 90%, and the 10th cured 95%. Imagine that knowledge of the 10th method had been available for over 20 years, but the vast majority of the medical profession was still recommending the other 9. One of the doctors at the conference raised a very pertinent point that hadn't occurred to me. He pointed out that doctors might well find themselves liable to a legal action for malpractice by not advising their patients of the best way to quit smoking. Ironically, he was a great advocate of nicotine replacement therapy, nicotine gums, patches, etc. I try hard not to be vindictive, but I hope he becomes the first victim of his suggestion. Governments regularly waste millions of pounds on shock campaigns trying to persuade youngsters not to get hooked. They might just as well waste it on trying to persuade them that motorbikes can kill you. Do they not realise that youngsters know that one cigarette won't kill them, and that no youngster ever expects to get hooked? The link between smoking and lung cancer has been established for over 50 years. Yet more youngsters are becoming hooked nowadays than ever before. Youngsters don't need to watch smoking horrors on TV. Smokers tend to avoid such programs anyway. Practically every youngster in the country has witnessed the actual devastation that smoking causes within their own family. I watched my father and my sister destroyed by the weed. That didn't prevent me from falling into the trap. I appeared on a national TV program with a doctor from ASH who had never smoked in her life and had never cured a single smoker, categorically informing the nation how the latest £2.5 million government shot campaign would prevent youngsters from becoming hooked. If only the government had had the common sense to give that money to me, I could have financed a campaign that would have guaranteed the death of nicotine addiction within a few years. I truly believe that the snowball has become a football. But after 20 years, that is still just a spit in the ocean. I'm grateful to the millions of ex-smokers who have visited my clinics, read my books, watched my videos, and have recommended Easy Way to their friends, relatives, and anyone who will listen to them. And I pray that you continue to do so. However, the snowball won't become an avalanche until the medical profession, the media, ASH, and Quit stop recommending methods that make it more difficult to quit and accept that Easy Way is not just another method, but the only sensible method to use. I don't expect you to believe me at this stage, but by the time you have finished listening to this programme, you will understand. Even the comparatively few failures that we have say something like, I haven't succeeded yet, but your way is better than any I know. If, when you finish listening to this programme, you feel that you owe me a debt of gratitude, you can more than repay that debt. Not just by recommending an Easy Way to your friends, but whenever you see a TV or radio programme, or read a newspaper article advocating some other method, write to them or phone them asking why they aren't advocating Easy Way. That will start the avalanche, and if I live to witness it, I will die a happy man. This programme gives you the state-of-the-art technology on just how easy it is and how enjoyable it is to quit smoking. As I sit at my state-of-the-art laptop, it's difficult to believe that the original manuscript of this work was handwritten, barely legible, least of all to me, and then typed up on an ancient typewriter. When I extinguished my final cigarette on the 15th of July, 1983, I knew for certain that I'd discovered something that every smoker was searching for, an easy and immediate method to escape from nicotine slavery. What I didn't know for certain was whether I could convince a single smoker, let alone the rest of the world. With sales in excess of 6 million copies and translations in over 20 languages, Easy Way has exceeded my expectations. It started with just Joyce and me at our home in Raynes Park. Today we have a network of over 50 Easy Way clinics in 20 countries worldwide. My 30 years of chain smoking were a nightmare, and I am pleased to have this opportunity to thank my colleagues, my publishers, and the millions of ex-smokers who have quit with the help of Easy Way for making the last 20 years seem like paradise. Do you have a feeling of doom and gloom? Forget it. I've achieved some marvellous things in my life. By far the greatest was to escape from the slavery of nicotine addiction. I escaped over 20 years ago and still cannot get over the joy of being free. There is no need to feel depressed. Nothing bad is happening. On the contrary, you're about to achieve something that every smoker on the planet would love to achieve. To be free. Duncan Wells will now explain how any smoker can find it easy to quit. Just sit back and relax and listen to what Duncan says. Provided you haven't already quit, feel free to light up and smoke.